episode 39. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? We got my beautiful wife with us tonight. Say what's up.
Hi, guys.
You gotta speak a little louder.
Hi,
that
guys.
Was even louder, bro. That was the same volume.
Hello.
And we got Chris in the building. Yeah. It's a little too loud. Before we get started, let's go ahead and just pray up, you know, get that Holy Spirit moving. Dear God, we thank you so much for this time, and Lord, just for this opportunity to speak your light and your truth, God. I pray, Lord, that this time would honor you and it would be a blessing to you as it is to us, God. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would flow in this time, flow through us into the ears and hearts of those listening, God. Lord Jesus, just thy will be done, Lord. We ask the advancement of your will in this episode, God, that your almighty love would just pour out onto your children, God, lost or found. God, we're believing that those who do not yet know you or have a relationship with you will begin to pursue you, God. We're believing that in faith, God, and we thank you for the opportunity, the gift of faith that you've given us, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. All right, so on this episode, we got, like I said, my beautiful wife in the building. And after hearing last week's episode, you know, where I talk about our daughter being born and the craziness that it's kind of been this, you know, this past probably what, like 6 months to a year? Probably 6 months. 7 months, I don't know.
8 months.
So yeah. It's been a busy little 8 months. And after hearing last week's episode, she just said, I want to come on and, you know, I want to share my side of the story. I want to talk about my experiences, you know, through pregnancy and through having the premature baby and, you know, just the beauty that it is now to be a mother, you know. So I just wanted to give her the opportunity, you know, to come on here and hopefully she could speak her truth and that would open a door for other women, you know. So if you're a woman listening, we got another powerful woman of Christ on this episode, and I'm excited to see where God takes this one. So I got a couple of questions I want to ask her real quick. Starting off, yeah, I'm learning too. But so we were talking last night, and I guess we just wanted to know. So we could start at the beginning, right? So when you found out, you know, you were pregnant and we were having a baby and stuff, what was your first thought?
Oh crap.
All right.
Oh crap. I mean, I had thought I was pregnant, but I was like, no, I'm not pregnant. But yeah, like, oh crap, but happy at the same time, but still oh crap. Like, just because we were serving. And we weren't trying to, I mean, we were trying to be abstinent. Mm-hmm. However, when you have had those relations before marriage, is very hard to stop. Not that that's an excuse, absolutely not, but yeah, it was a really oh crap moment.
Yeah. Definitely.
What was your reaction?
I mean, I was obviously excited, but also, like you said, we were serving, you know, we were in a place where we were leaders in the church, and I was more afraid of, you know, sending a bad message to the kids or, you know, looking like a hypocrite or like, you know, like I'm out here preaching one thing and saying one thing at the church, but then outside of the walls of the church, I'm just, you know, really not doing what's right. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I was afraid of looking like a hypocrite. Like, I wasn't trying to be a hypocrite. It just, I didn't want anybody to think that I was a hypocrite because, you know, people just have their, you know, I just want to love people where they're at. Yeah. But sometimes church is just hard. There's some dark places in church and there's some really good places in church. So,
yeah. Yeah, I was definitely scared to tell my mom, too. I was like,
oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Grandma. Oh, granny.
Ooh. Granny.
My poor Nemo, bro.
It's so funny. Those were the only two people, I mean, and God, that I was literally afraid of telling. Oh my goodness. I wasn't even that afraid to tell my mom. I was more afraid to tell your mom and your nana. Whoo.
Yeah. No, that was a busy day. And then we tried to call Chris and he wasn't answering, so I didn't get a hold of him until the next day. And if you heard last week, I called him, I told him, he was like, "That's not good." He's like, "Bro, that's not good."
Yeah, it was silence for like a good 30 seconds after that. Just no words. I know.
I was like, "Oh man, that's not what I wanted to hear, Chris." Thanks, Chris. No, but I mean, it was a lot. It was unexpected, you know. But it's always a miracle. New life is always a miracle, no matter how it comes, you know, because that's God's will. You know, He knew what was going to happen. He knew we were struggling in sin, and even though we weren't really bringing it to the light, you know, like, I had my, obviously, like, accountability, and I had Chris, who I would talk to about these struggles, you know, that we were having with the, you know, sexual relations outside of marriage, and that was a very key part to our journey, you know, is that accountability, you know, and actually choosing to lean on the accountability. But like we said last week, you know, even through our disobedience, God's light shined down, because now He brought us this beautiful baby girl. And, you know, it's just the biggest blessing. And that kind of jump started our relationship to get into marriage. You know, we'd been engaged for what, a year?
Yeah.
A little over a year.
We wanted to get married sooner. However, my dad requested that I finish school first, which was the right thing to do.
Yeah, which is understandable.
I absolutely see now why he wanted me to do that.
Yeah. No, because baby and school is rough. It's rough, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even in school, but I just see her struggling. And it's definitely a lot. It's a lot going on. But then, so after we found out and stuff, you know, I went and talked to Pastor Alex, who just gave me great guidance. And, you know, not at all did he condemn me. You know, he was very supportive and he was very uplifting, you know, because he could see I was worried, as any new parent would be, you know. I wasn't so much worried about the normal things, you know, the money or the where are we going to live or all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? I was more worried about, you know, what does this look like in God's eyes, you know? It's like, He's already saved me and delivered me from so many things, but then here I am, continually choosing to choose me instead of Him. And so I was just fearful of, you know, what is God seeing right now, you know? And that was something that He did really good bringing clarity on, you know? He was like, "Look, you obviously have the Holy Spirit in you because you're feeling conviction. You know, it's not like when you guys are doing this stuff, you just don't even care and it's all good and it's whatever. It's like, no, you guys are in a place of repentance after the act. And then also you feel bad. You feel that conviction, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is good. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit moving in your life, you know? The Holy Spirit is there bringing that conviction to try to sharpen you, you know, to mold you into man and woman of God, you know, who act according to what His word says, you know, not running on our own will or, you know, our own ideas. The Holy Spirit pushes us to the word of God. And in the word of God, you know, it is sex before marriage is sinful. It's not of God, you know. Man and woman were made to be married, to enter that holy covenant. And then that's where the sexual part comes in. And obviously, you know, we skipped a few steps, but it's now our story and it's our testimony. And I believe that God's going to use our story to, you know, help somebody else out, to help another couple out who may be in the same position, or help anybody really, you know, who may be going through the trials and the storms of pregnancy and even childbirth. You know, our story in no way is it, you know, a cookie cutter story. You know, it's not the one you see in the movies. It's a real story, and I believe it really can help people. So that's just kind of what we want to touch on today. And so the next thing was just speaking on the pregnancy, I guess. And, you know, I was there with you, and I saw your battles and your struggles with God during pregnancy. Chris got to experience it too. And it was busy, that's for sure. So,
and it's so nice, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bro, get Colette back.
It's nuts. Yeah, so I guess we just want to know.
You can tell it to anyone who's got pregnant. Right now, yeah. It's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. It's gonna be okay. but it is going to get real hard before it gets easy, you know?
Yeah.
So I want you in the most authentic and real way to talk about that time and what your relationship with God was looking like.
I guess, okay, so, like, pregnancy overall was...
Throughout the whole pregnancy.
Well, I mean, when we first found out we were pregnant, I think, like, the first week was fine. I think the first week was okay, other than probably when we told your parents.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was good for about a week. And then after a week, immediately, I was... had horrible morning sickness. And I mean, I could not stop throwing up. I would have to force myself to stop, like, being sick. I couldn't eat or drink anything. At one point, it was really hard for me to drink water, even. Like, I could not keep fluids down in any shape or form. I mean, it was so hard because it is a miracle. And I see that now, but I thought God was, I felt like Job, like, I felt like Job, like, actually, like, why has God done this to me? But in all reality, like, God was like, no, you did this, and now I'm just going to make it a beautiful situation. Yeah. But pregnancy was really hard overall, especially with us having to get married. Mm-hmm. Not having to, but we were gonna get married regardless. Like he said, we were engaged, but this just sped up the process because we needed to have a covenant with God and for him to cover our family, because I mean, I've seen it in his parents' life and how they have raised their kids. Like, it's just so good, and I've never had that in my life, so I knew I needed that for my kids. Like, that was something we needed for our children, and for us, to break those generational curses.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the point of us getting married was not to try to save face or, you know, shotgun wedding, act like, you know, we were already married when this whole pregnancy happened. You know, the point of it was simply we were not honoring God with our relationship, mm-hmm. you know, and that wasn't right. That's not what our goal was. That's not what we wanted to be doing. But there were parts of our life where, you know, the sin was taking over, and we didn't want to live in that sin anymore. We didn't want to bring, you know, that into our family, you know, our family life. You know what I mean? We wanted to be that unit, you know, that talks about in the Bible. You know, we wanted to be living for God fully, you know, not just mm-hmm. for, you know, on Sundays or for the podcast or all this stuff when we volunteer, whatever we were doing, right? We wanted to be living for God. And so it was really important for us to actually step into that marriage, you know. And yeah, it was beautiful, honestly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to the courthouse, just, you know, getting married right there on the spot. Boom.
Yeah.
They said, oh, wait, you guys are getting married right here, right now? We said, oh, yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. I wouldn't change a thing about it, you know, and mm-hmm. it just allowed us to, like she said, be covered. You know, the pastor explained it to me, like, when you enter into that covenant of marriage, the covenant is like an umbrella, right? And so once you enter that with God, you, your wife, and God, you are the three-stranded cord, of, you know, like a braided cord, and it's very hard to break that, you know what I mean? When you keep God at the center of your marriage,
mm-hmm.
it is almost impossible. To enter divorce, or, you know, even through the hard times of marriage, you know, because we fight all the time. We're fighting this morning, we fought yesterday and the day before, but you know what, yeah, just not fist fighting.
I will say we did a really good job of arguing this morning. Yeah,
like, arguing is okay.
Really good job.
If you're married, arguing is okay. But this is what I was saying is, that covenant is the umbrella, right? And it covers every area of your life now. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
now that God's in between us, right? God is also covering our child. You know, God's covering our finances. God is covering our community. God is mm-hmm. covering our house. You know what I'm saying? God's covering every area of our life once we entered into that holy covenant, you know, because that to me was like a sign of commitment, you know, commitment to God and also to my wife, you know? Mm-hmm. And, just through that, we've just seen, you know, God just move in our lives in a very special way, you know, just through getting to be together and pray together and live together and not act like we're a family, but actually be a family, you mm-hmm. know, not act like we're husband and wife like we did for so many years,
yeah,
but actually be husband and wife, you know, and get to honor God with our relationship in every area of it. It's been just beautiful, you know, and I just think it's special, you know, and then Chris got to experience all of that through the ups and the downs and a lot of nights I would call him and be stressed out, freaked out, angry, wanting to just lose it all, you know what I mean? Because it can get real crazy, but the beautiful thing was through all that, you know, God remained at the center, you know, and God continued to cover us, even in times when we may have doubted him or even in times where we wondered if this pregnancy was so hard because mm-hmm. was this God's wrath or what, mm-hmm. you know, what is this? What is going on right now? We don't understand what's going on and we're trying our best to understand it. But that's kind of what I learned. It's like the best thing is not to understand it. The best thing is to trust it and mm-hmm. to trust that this is just part of our story, part of the testimony, part of the walk that God has placed us on. And we're not going to get anywhere from trying to figure out everything that's going on. But through faith, that's when, you know, the breakthrough comes.
Yeah.
That's when we see the miracle.
There was a lot of faith that had to be implemented.
Oh, it had to be. Yeah.
In our lives. I think, honestly, from after the first week was a whole bunch of, like, there just needed to be a whole bunch of faith through everything, through all of those months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So many women say that, you know, the sickness will go away. And I was just waiting for that. Like, when I tell you waiting, like, a waiting season, that was the longest waiting season of my entire life. God showed me, like, that was a real hardship. He just showed me really what waiting was like, through the hardships. Patience. And, yeah, that was the biggest test of patience, I think. But I think he was honestly just making me stronger through that. I mean, I was so tired because I could not sleep. Most of the time I was sick throughout the night. Those were my horrible hours. Yeah.
Throwing up all night long.
Really bad hours. It was horrible. I mean, seriously, like, I would be in the shower, like, cursing at God. Like, cursing at God. Yeah, like, cussing God out. I was so angry with God. And I could not understand what he wanted from me, but I think throughout that whole time, like, he was just asking for a relationship with me, like a real relationship, like a steady relationship, not one that's like off and on, like, and now that we recovered, I mean, not that it made it easier to have a relationship with him, but it definitely made me feel like I wasn't convicted anymore in that sense. So I think that opened a door for me to be, I don't know, it's hard when I'm trying to explain, like, it just was, that wasn't like a conviction anymore. Now my conviction was, I'm not spending enough time with you, but how do I spend enough time with you when you're making this super hard on me? Like, how do I love you through this? How do I call you my heavenly father when you're putting me through this? And so I can't remember if I heard it on your guys' podcast, like this podcast, and you guys were talking about Job or something. I think you were talking about Job or something.
Chris loves Job.
I love Job.
No, it's really good. And I didn't get all the way through it, but I was just like in the beginning, like, yeah, I just like, I felt like I resembled with his story, like, just how it was just so hard, like, God, why are you doing this to me? Like, I don't understand. Like you said, was it the wrath of God? Because I really did not get it. And there were times where I was like, there's literally no way a miracle can come from this. Like, I was literally told Harrison at one point, or Wally, that sorry. I call him Harrison. I call him Harrison.
Hey, chill.
But there was one, like, I don't know, it just really was hard to see a miracle coming out of this situation.
Yeah. No, and being there with her, you know, it was so hard because she was trying, you know, like even in the midst of the hardest nights, she would be on her hands and knees. I'm talking about crying, like crying out to God, like literally just
crying, guys,
just screaming, bawling her eyes out, crying out to God, like, God, please just help me, you know, just all this stuff, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to pray too, but it's 3 a.m, you know what I'm saying? I'm not really in my right mind. I haven't slept much. And it got to a point where I remember one time I actually doubted God and I was like, God, where are you? You know, why are you not helping her? You see your daughter in so much pain and she's just suffering, you know, and this is supposed to be beautiful and this is supposed to be a miracle. You know, everyone talks about pregnancy like it's just so great and you just, you're glowing and you're just so, everything's awesome. And we weren't experiencing that at all, you know, and so it was easy to think like, you know, was this because of our wrongdoing? Was God, you know, kind of punishing us? And that's a really dangerous mindset to be in because I don't think he was actually punishing us. I think, like you said, he was just trying to make us stronger, you know, and then now today I'm grateful for it. It's like most of the trials and struggles we face in life, you know, in the midst of it, it's never good. You never love it. You know what I'm saying? You're never like, this is amazing. I love this. Unless you're Paul or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just, most of us aren't very good at rejoicing in the suffering. But, you know, now on the other side of it, all we can be is grateful for it because, you know, it did make us stronger as a family and as individuals in faith, you know, because every morning I was just praying for her to just, you know, find you in the midst of all this chaos, you know, to have that time to be with you and feel you and to be one with God and all this stuff, right? And it just, every single day, that was my prayer, just for her to connect with God in a special way and just to have the Holy Spirit come over her and help her through this pain and suffering that she is just really struggling with right now. And I think we've all been in that place of either struggling or seeing someone else and they're struggling in their pain. And at some point you're like, all right, God, like, I've been praying a while, like, you gonna show up? You know what I'm saying? Like, like, where you at? And that was scary for me because I never really doubted God. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never thought like God wasn't here, he wasn't doing anything. It was just a lot of times I knew I was messing up, you know, so the consequences of my actions were simply that, you know what I'm saying? There were consequences, right? But then here's this thing that I have actually like absolutely no power, no control over. My wife is suffering, she's throwing up all the time, she's sick all the time, she can't get out the house, she can't do anything.
Yeah, guys, I literally couldn't drive for like 4 to 5 months.
Yeah, she was just super down bad.
I couldn't go into a grocery store at all.
And so it was just like, it was discouraging, honestly, you know, but through it all, like, God made a way, and through it all, he made sure we knew that he was in charge, you know, because there were just things that were out of our control, right, all the way leading up to the birth of our daughter, and
I just felt like everything was out of our control. I mean, I think there was one other day that I felt really good. I remember it was a Sunday, and it was a Sunday I got pulled over, and I was like, God, please don't let him give me a ticket, because this is a really good day that I'm having in my pregnancy, and I don't know if I'm going to have these days again.
Yeah.
Thank God he didn't give me a ticket. He didn't give me a ticket, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, every day was really hard. It was just a struggle of like, okay, how is today going to look?
Yeah.
Okay, like, how is this morning going to look? Because it's like every 30 minutes, something was different. And most of the time I was hungry, but couldn't eat anything. Yeah, it was just a struggle knowing like day to day what is going to happen. What's going to be the hardest thing about today?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of fear, a lot of doubt, you know, just a lot of just negativity, honestly, you know, and that's such a hard place to be in as a believer, you know, because that whole mindset, that place of fear and just being so down and beat up, it just feels like distance, you know, it feels like distance from God. But what I learned was I can choose to be in fear, I can choose to walk in faith, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that it was simple as that to me. It was black and white to me. It was either fear or faith. And so through that, it showed me, you know, God taught me. You know, I guess I asked him to show me how to be disciplined, show me how to be faithful, grow my faith. I guess I had that prayer maybe, you know what I'm saying, before that. And he said, all right, I'm going to show you, but it's up to you to actually do it. Mm-hmm. And that's really all it was. You know, it was a lot of nights where, you know, I wanted to risk it all. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to just, like, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to stay sane through this. Like, I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to do this and that, or, you know what I'm saying? I need to escape this craziness, right? But that's where, you know, Chris came in, calling Chris, you know, keeping, you know, open communication mm-hmm. with those who are going to keep me accountable. That's where it came into, like, I have to get in the Word no matter what I'm feeling like. Yeah. I have to get in the Bible. You know, I have to hear from God. I need to talk to God. I need to tell him exactly what I'm feeling. You know, even if it is, like she was saying, screaming at God, cussing at God, whatever you got to say to God, he wants to hear it, and he's strong enough to take it, you know?
Yeah.
So don't let those feelings, don't let it seem like God can't handle what you want to say to him, right? Because he can handle it. Trust me, he mm-hmm. can handle it. And through that, it's going to grow your relationship, you know, because then you're being real, you're being authentic, you're being vulnerable with God, and you're admitting that we are weak, you know, we are not strong enough to handle the weight of this world. And we'll try real hard for a long time until we get beaten down to that place of submission. And that's literally where we were. It was like, really, it was either like we submit to God or we just lose it all, you know, and that's not at all what we wanted to do. We didn't want to lose, you know, our relationship with mm-hmm. each other or with God. We didn't want to lose this beautiful baby that God had just blessed us with in such a beautiful way, you know.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a trial, and it was a hard season, but those are the ones that are worth it, you know. So if you're walking through a hard season, definitely, you know, keep walking and don't walk alone. Walk
definitely
with God, hand in hand, foot in foot with God. Get in community, get surrounded by people, you know, get you a Chris, you know what I'm saying? Get you a little Chris.
Yeah, even if it's just one person, like, because...
Because
I feel like the whole time, I mean, I had I feel like I had an army of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in the beginning, it was really Zuli and your mom.
Mm.
You know, and that was really hard. Like, it was just hard to not have somebody to lean on. And Karina Lima. I had Karina Lima, too.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah, I want to get...
It's just hard not... Because everybody tells you that it's going to be picture perfect. Like, pregnancy is so good. But when you're sick all the time, it is not fun at all. And it's not fun for your spouse either. It's really hard.
Yeah. I want to... Just for those that are, you know, listening and they haven't experienced this yet. Or, you know, maybe don't even plan to. Who knows? But... For those that are just in a season, you know, maybe where you are feeling that absence, you know, like, where is God? Or if you're, like, feeling discouraged or you're feeling beat up by life and there's just, like, a lack of faith you feel, you know, like, it's pretty evident when you're in that state, you know, because you don't have the peace, you don't have the joy, you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, you know, because you're not really seeking it. And so, Chris, I want to know what you feel like, you know what I'm saying, about that time. Those times when you may doubt God, or those times you may feel distant, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm probably just going to use it a lot for what you was talking about, but it's going to be helpful, I think, for anyone that's listening. So, like, the first thing that I'll say is, because we talked about it a little bit last week, but about, so, the sin that was committed, right, in the birth of River, and, like, so the one thing that I'll say is, you know, I know Colette pretty well, and I know Wally very well, and God sees your heart, and that's one part, right, that I can't see in somebody, right? But as far as, so I can't say it with a affirmative, right, like completely 100% accurate statement that their heart posture is correct, but from everything that I saw, their walk with Christ was, right, they were trying their hardest, right? And God sees your heart. Right, and there's this line C.S. Lewis writes in his book. It's about sexual sin. He writes, a lot of people, right, they don't even try to not have sex, right, because it's such a difficult. That's like one of the most difficult sins, I think, especially when you're young, because just biologically, right, that's when you're most hormonal. God created us that way, right, because He wants us to get married, obviously. So there is a desire to, right. That's the pushing force in getting married and then keeping.
right, humanity going and everything, right? So it's, like, very strong. And then if you do it, you can do it correctly and then incorrectly. But C.S. Lewis writes that it's not so much about doing it and getting it 100% right. Like, a big part of the battle is just trying, right, and then failing, like, a lot, right? And I can say from being a part of the journey with them, right, is, like, the both of them were struggling with it, and they had come into the relationship before they were, like, devoted on this walk with Christ, already dealing with that sin, and then to pull away from it, right, is a whole different game than, like, starting the relationship purely, right? And but I can say that they were both trying not to do it, right? And God can see your heart in that, right? Like, God could see that you are really trying, right? And so my first scripture I'm going to go to for that specifically is, and I've talked about this before with a pastor, and this is for you if you're struggling with whatever sin that you're struggling with. And because I talked to him and I said, I don't understand why I keep sinning, right? Because I have Christ, I believe in Christ. Why do I keep doing? It's literally, I basically quoted the Paul, right? The thing that Paul actually writes to this pastor, and then he went straight to this scripture, right? And so Paul writes, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. So your flesh is completely evil. You still have your flesh, obviously. For I have the desire to do what is right. That's your spirit, but not the ability to carry it out. So your spirit wants to do the right things. Your flesh doesn't want to do the right things. Your flesh is fighting your spirit. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Right? And so the way that it was told to me is like, you're sold under sin. So Adam, right, from the very beginning sins, and then we're condemned, right? And so then what ends up happening is that our flesh is still with us. We still have this evil with us, and you even have the world and the devil, right? But this is mainly talking about the flesh, which goes straight into sexual sin. And so God can see this war that you're having, right? And so I read this article that this guy wrote about the battle, right? We're actually in a war. Like, every single day we're in a spiritual war, and it is hard. And some days you lose and some days you win. It's a daily battle and a lifelong war. And you know, God is there every step of the way. I think the thing that I've struggled with the most is when I lose the battle, I give up on the war. Like, I'm just like, I've lost the battle. Like, that means I've lost the war, rather than picking myself back up and then continuing to try in the right direction, right? Remembering that it wasn't me. It's not me who's going to save myself at the end of the day. And again, God sees my heart posture. God sees that I'm really trying, right? Like, even if the rest of the world is like, this dude is such a sinner, right? They don't know me, but God knows me. God sees all things, right? And I'm not saying that as like an excuse, right? I'm really saying that for you is like, are you actually really trying? You know, like, are you really putting in your best effort not to go back to this sin? Even if you fail, are you doing the best that you can? So I can say that for the two of them, as far as that sin went, right? And then when it did come to fruition, what they didn't do was run away from the faith, right? This, right, Wally calls me, they're going to the church, they talk to the pastors about what had happened, you know, they're getting into the word, even when the pregnancy's going through, they're trying to get married, they're trying to do the right thing. It wasn't like they were just like, oh, we messed up, like, we're done now, right? It's like their spirit, the Holy Spirit, is still the guiding force in their life, right? So it's still pulling them towards good, even if the flesh is pulling you away, you know? And it's like continuously. So that's like one of my favorite verses, actually, that I wanted to get into as well, was it's Luke 9:23, and it's Jesus, and he's talking to everybody. He says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Right? And so you're crucifying the flesh every single day. That's the idea, right? And so, like, every day you should kill the flesh a little bit more, right? And then sometimes the flesh comes back alive. You act in a fleshly way, right? The spirit, right? The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing.
Amen. Right? Hallelujah.
And so that's, right? And so that's the battle that we have as Christians, and it's exhausting. Like, if you're in a spot right now where you're actually trying, and you're like, I hate this. Like, I just want to give up. I want to throw the towel in, which I've been there before, where it's like, I just don't want to do this anymore, because it's such a hard battle, dude. Like, walking in the faith for, like, the time that I've been walking in. Dude, even, like, last night, bro, reminiscing on, like, my crazy past, it was horrible. I did a lot of horrible things, and I was high through most of it, so I don't remember most of it. But I was sober last night, and I was with a friend from my past, and we just kind of went down a trip down memory lane. It was like, dude, I forgot like most of this stuff, and it got to me. It was like that sin, dude. Like it hit me pretty deep. I was letting the flesh win, really, right? It kind of took over last night, and I didn't look to the cross, and I didn't die to the flesh, you know? I lost the battle, and then I woke up, and I remember, that's really what I thought. I was like, damn, this is an exhausting thing, bro, because it's been going on for 3 years now, right? And then I think, damn it, this war could last another 40, dude. Like, I'm like, man. And then, so this is where I'll get into the good stuff, right? It's like, there's so much pain and suffering, and today, I'm super tired. I went to bed at 3 in the morning. I woke up at 7:30, so it was not a lot of sleep. And I woke up, though, and we had a prayer meeting, and I didn't hear anything. I heard some of the stuff in the sermon. It was actually pretty good, but really wasn't there present. Wasn't present in the prayer meeting. Thought about myself for an hour straight, which is uncanny. But the one thing, though, someone said, and me and Wally say it all the time, rejoice in the suffering, but he said it, and he worded it in a way where it was like, God, like, open my heart to it, because, like, you don't really receive things, I don't think, until God wants you to really receive them. Like, you can see it and hear it all the time, but it's like, I really saw, like, the way that he was talking about it is like, it's good to have this suffering, right? The Bible talks about all the good that suffering brings, and that you really should rejoice in it, because it's a divine dude, John Piper did a whole series on it.
Dude.
Bro, I know you listened to it, too.
I forgot.
Dude. That's horrible. I can't remember the word.
Is it on his podcast?
Yeah, like, you'd see it as soon as you opened it up. But what Loading. He makes... So what he talks about is, like, he gives this example for...
Providence.
One of the examples he gives, though, and this is how this really touched me as far as suffering goes, is there's this woman, and this will, so first off, I wanted to talk about the sin, and now I'm going to talk about the suffering that came afterwards. And this is like just the order of things, I guess, how they go, right? And so through the suffering, right, so this woman, she's in like a third world country, she's trying to get this money because she's, you know, in a third world country trying to live, trying to save these kids, help these kids. She's a missionary. And this money is supposed to come in on like a Friday, and it doesn't come in. And so she's praying every day, being faithful, like, God, I need this money to live. And she doesn't get it till like a week later, right? And then through this week, like, she writes in this book, like, how much it strengthened her faith. But it was like ultimate suffering through this week, right? And then John Piper uses the example to say that God put that whole thing together, right? Like, he purposely, because the money actually got stopped at another dude who forgot to send it. He sent it to the wrong person. He sent that money to a different missionary when it was supposed to go to her, right? And he said that God did that on purpose, right? Because there was something more important that had to happen. So she suffers for this week, but it's all for the greater glory, right? That there is something bigger out there, right? That it isn't, you know, I'm so nearsighted in my pain and suffering that I can't possibly see the bigger picture. Right, that's really where I mess up, and that's the story of Job that she's talking about. Right, that's what ends up happening, is Job asks why, and then God shows him all of the expansiveness of the world. One of the coolest things is he shows him these two sea monsters that no human's ever going to see, no human's ever going to know is there, but God created them just for his pleasure, just so that God could look down on these sea creatures and be well pleased with them. Right, and he's like, if any human saw him, right, they'd probably rip you apart and kill you. Right, and so he's showing him like things that are way beyond, you know, I don't even know these things exist, you know, but here's God, right? Like, he's created all of these things that are so beyond my knowledge. He's so much bigger, so much greater, right? But I'm going to question him when things get tough, right? And the whole story is just like to humble me, to be like, I don't know. God knows what's going to happen in 20 years. I don't. So he knows why I'm suffering right now today, right? God knows what's going to happen in a week. You know, I just talked to one of my friends, and he's going through like the worst hell of his life. And he said, this is 3 days after a horrible relapse, literally brought him to a motel where he was going to kill himself. That was literally on Friday. saw him last night, and he's like, I can already see some of the reasons why God put me through this. And I said, you can see them now a day later, but imagine how you're going to see him in a year from now, right? Because God knows what's going to happen in a year from now. As much as he might have used it to help you right now today, he's also probably using it to help you a year from now, and you just can't see it because you got no idea what's to come, you know? And so it's like through all that pain and through all that suffering, I think we get so quick to just be like, where are you at, God? Like, what are you doing to me? And here's my last thing I'll read. I'll give the mic back. Is I sent this to Wally. It's one of my favorites. This is Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Right? And so God could just be disciplining you, right? And at the moment, it seems painful, but just like your father, right? When you do something wrong, he disciplines you, right? Because there's actually psychiatrists, they say that they've tested on like animals, like if they give an animal an award every time they do something good, that the animal will most likely continue to do the right thing. But that what's actually much more effective is when they do the wrong thing and they inflict some type of pain on the animal, that it'll be more likely just not to do the wrong thing, because pain carries a lot more weight than the reward of the right thing, right? We respond to it a lot more than we do things that are good, which sucks, but it's the reality of the situation. And then when you get that pain, right, you lean more into righteousness, you come closer to God, you want more of the spirit, less of the flesh, because you know what the flesh is leading you to. It's leading to this bottomless abyss that has nothing for you, right? I think pregnancy is different because it's always going to be painful, you know. Honestly, I know a woman, she had 12 kids, and I'm like, that's, why would you do that 12 times to yourself? That's nuts. For no reason, just adopt after four. But yeah, no, I think
don't even go past two. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, nuts. 12 kids is nuts.
That's busy.
That's a busy family. Yeah.
No, but there's two things I wanna say. First, I wanted to just go based off what you were saying, you know. God is not shaken by our struggles, right? You know, a lot of times we get in the midst of a tough time and we get this thought that, you know, like God would be worried or all this, like we automatically assume, you know, the control and try to take on these struggles, right? And we completely forget the awesome power that God is, right? In no time does God see what's going on in your life. Is he confused or is he worried or is he even blink an eye at it? You know what I'm saying? He is literally in control and he knows exactly what is going on and what is then going to happen after this, right? And that makes me think of the story where Jesus and the disciples are in the boat, right? And they're in the storm and all the disciples, they start freaking out. It's a crazy storm. The boat is literally like doing backflips. It's getting buck wild out there, right? And Jesus is just in there sleeping, right? He's just chilling. He's just laying in the boat, just asleep. And I think it was Peter, right? Peter went up to
hanging
him.
Hanging out in the boat, yeah.
And so Peter goes up to him and tries to wake him up. He's like, God, Jesus, what's going on?
You're going to let us die is what
he
says.
Yeah, you're going to let us die. And Jesus was like, you have little faith. He was like,
ye have little faith.
Ye have little faith. Yeah, how dare you? Ye have little faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just telling him, like, do you not trust me? He was like, if I'm not worried, why are you worried? You know, and I think that's the mindset we need to adapt in these tough times, right? It's like, first of all, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, you know what I'm saying, in Matthew 6, we cannot add a second to our life by worrying, you know? But what he does say in Philippians 4:6 is, don't be worried about anything. Instead, pray about everything, you know? And so that is the mindset that we need to adapt as we grow in our faith. And it's not going to be easy at first. In those times of struggle, you know, in those times when you're really just trying to get after it, when you're really about to open that porno or you're about to, you know, make
all
some,
right, dude.
Make
open
some,
the pornos.
Make some love or about to do that drug or get drunk or whatever, you're not really going to think about it. You're just going to do it, right? But it's like, eventually with time, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
through the growth.
I'll say, though, too, for sin, it's like we just wait too long. Because if you're, like, I'll tell people, like, if you wait till you've made the decision, you're already done. Like, you're going to do it then. You got to be, like, for me, it's like my big thing is it starts for me, like, usually at the gym. And then if I'm looking at girls at the gym, it just continues on from there, right? Like, my heart becomes corrupted, my mind starts thinking about it, and then eventually it's going to come where I make the decision and I go through with the action, right? It really starts with your heart, though, and then it goes to your head, and then it becomes your action. So it's like, you got to kill it way before, right, you get to that point. And you do that by reading scripture, by praying, right, by listening to, you know, different podcasts and preachers and all that stuff.
Lift up praise to God, because that's the only way. The only way that we're going to make it through these times, you know, and it's such a common theme, you know, that we see in life today and also in the Bible, dating all the way back to the Old Testament, you know, in the time of the Israelites, who are God's chosen people, right? Me and Chris been talking about this a lot recently because it's really just opened my heart and my mind a lot. It's like, so God took these people, his chosen people who were slaves, right? Delivers them out of Egypt. He brings them through the Red Sea, you know? And then they're like, oh, yeah, we love you, God. You saved us from slavery. And then, boom, what, they spend some time in the desert, like 30 days in the desert, and they're thirsty and they're hungry. And then, boom, they go right back to doubting God, right? And then here we go. God cracks a rock, uses Moses to crack a rock, and here comes some water out the rock. And they're like, oh, thank you, God, and they praise him, right? And then they're like, oh, but now we're hungry. And God, what does he do? He rains down loaves of bread, and they are trying to hoard too much bread for themselves. So God makes the bread go bad. And then here we go. Once again, he delivers them to this land of milk and honey, right? This beautiful land where they can prosper and they can grow. And God has promised them to be the rulers of this land. And the minute something goes wrong, or they're like, good on God, they go and worship other gods, or they get materialistic. They start forming idols, you know? And then when things get really bad, that's when they cry out again to God. And that's what I feel like we do in this life today, you know? It's like we are constantly seeking things other than God, you know, and we get those things and we realize there's not any satisfaction, there's not any fulfillment in it. So then after we've used up whatever we're going to get out of that drug or out of that girl or out of that video or whatever we're doing, right, then we come to this place like, oh no, God, how could I have done this? How could I have forsaken you? Can you please help me? Where are you? You know, and he's up there like, bruh, I've been right here the whole time. You know, I have been the source. I have been the source of your joy, your peace, your happiness. Happiness isn't real. Your joy, you know, that's what God is, never ending, you know. And you keep choosing things other than me. So I'm going to be here the whole time, and I'm going to answer you when you cry out. But the goal is, like we were talking about, is to not cry out after, you know, not to cry out after we've already, it's hit our heart, it's hit our head, and now we're doing it, right? The goal is to cry out to God the minute it hits our head, you know, is to rebuke that evil that's coming into our head, to rebuke that temptation and those desires, knowing that they're not going to lead anywhere but to an even worse state that than we were in when we started, you know? So that's just been something that's been growing in my head and my heart now, is like, there's no true satisfaction other than God, you know? And the most pleased God is with us is when we are most satisfied with him, you know?
Facts.
When we're in that time in the Bible, you know, and we're loving what we're reading, or even we hate what we're reading, but we're reading it anyway because we know that's what God would want us to do, right? Because not every part of the Bible is super lit like some movie. A lot of it is pretty boring. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. You're like, bro, we don't even do this stuff anymore, you know what I mean? Why are we reading this? But God put it in his word, you know, for a reason. And this word, something that Pastor Ralph said, Ralph Johnson from Grace Family, shout out my boy, he said today is like, people will come into church or come to a person of faith, right, and be like, oh, you're just trying to tell me how to live. And he's like, yeah, no, actually, we're trying to tell you how God told you to live in this book right here, right? He wants the best for you, and he wrote out how to live the best, most fulfilling, satisfied life right here. And all you have to do is make the choice to open it, right? We have to make the choice. Choose him, not choose ourselves. Because when we constantly choose ourselves, it's just a never-ending cycle of we need more, we need more, we need more, we need more, until we're so broken that it's like now I'm like, okay, maybe God is the right way, right? But before we get to that place of brokenness, it's like, why not reach out? Why not open that Bible? Why not lift up his name in prayer, you know, and find what he is just trying to give us? You know what I mean? It's not, a lot of people say, I'm looking for the Lord. The Lord's not lost. You know what I'm saying? We are lost. He's been right here the whole time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not,
he's not like, hey, where am I?
He's not playing hide and seek, bro. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to go to Walmart and say on the loudspeaker, oh, where's God? You know what I'm saying?
You can even say he's looking for you, dude. Like the lost sheep.
Yeah.
He's trying to get you.
He's trying to get you, bro.
Yeah. So you're the one running away.
Yeah. So stop running away. Yeah. But then the thing that's important, right? Once you open this book, once you open his word, you have to know that now you are conscious of what is right and wrong, right? You know what is sin, what is of man, and what is of God, right? And in James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it, right? So even in our story, right, we knew we weren't supposed to be having sex, you know? We knew the consequences of that action, right? And so after a certain amount of times, God's like, all right, y'all want to keep living in this sin? Boom. Here's a baby.
Gotcha.
And gotcha. He got us, bro. But like Chris said, we had the choice, right? We had the choice to dive deeper into the sin, or we had the choice to dive deeper into the faith, right? And so the action steps we took, which were not of our own doing, it was from through seeking guidance, you know, seeking mentorship, being in community and accountability, like I said, they laid out the steps from the Bible, you know, guidance that God would be well pleased with, right? And that was to, you know, this is not an excuse to, you know, stay in sin, this baby. This is an excuse for you to run harder at God. So what do you then need to do? We needed to get married, you know. We needed to move in together, live together. We needed to be, combine our homes. We needed to, you know, it says to, when you get married, you leave your parents and you two are now a unit, you know. And so we had to become a unit. And then we also had to.
But it clings so much to God together.
Yeah.
Like, pray together.
Go ahead. Say what you're saying.
We had to cling to God, like, together. We had to, like, pursue him together and separately every single day. It was really hard because I was pregnant and because it wasn't a fun pregnancy. And we were newly weds. It was really hard. We weren't even married for six months.
No, we got married
the first like 4 months of our marriage. So this fifth month has been really fun. The first 4 months of our marriage was crazy.
Yeah. Spiritual warfare.
There was, I mean, it was just kind of like asking God, like, how do we get through this? You know, because I knew it was hard for me, but I knew it was even harder for him because he didn't understand what was going on, really. Like, he couldn't feel what I was feeling. And I also had to have grace for him. It was really hard to have grace for him because I would watch him eat and drink whatever he wanted, but I couldn't even eat. I mean, I'm telling you, like, this guy eats like 2 to 3 rotisserie chickens a week. And I'm saying, like, I can't even smell the rotisserie. Like, he would have to go downstairs, and I would have to be eating upstairs because I could not smell the rotisserie chicken. Like, it was so hard. It made me so mad. It made me so mad at God. Like, why can I not eat this?
I really probably eat, like, 5 a week, actually.
That's
still not good. I love chicken.
A lot of that's chicken. Well, he doesn't eat red meat or what, pork?
Yeah, no pork.
Yeah.
But
we had to run after God.
Oh, yeah.
During the season.
But hand in hand. You know, we had to be, you know, cleave together.
And
you know?
Find community together. Yeah. I think not last semester of exchange, but the semester before that, like, God really gave us the community we needed together in order to get through this season, because I wouldn't have met Zuli had you not had Remo as a client and invited him to exchange, you know, like, that was really a blessing in disguise because now she's one of my best girls. And
Providence.
And, Providence. And, also it's made me and his, like, this season has made me and his mom, like, closer. Like, she's one of my best girls too. I love her so much. She just, gosh, I don't think we could have gotten through this season without your parents. Yeah. Like, I just am so thankful for both of them.
Yeah. But the one thing too, remember earlier I said two things, right? And I only hit one of them. One thing I wanted to say is, Chris, you are not your sin. You know?
Fire, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And to those listening, you are not your sin. You know, don't identify with the sin and the wreckage of your past, you know. And maybe you needed that time to reflect, you know. Maybe it's going to bring growth that you might not have found before, you know. Like, just the way you were talking about the providence earlier, that may have been God's providence, you know, to let you see something that you may not have really seen or heard before, you know. And now that's going to be even more power to your testimony, even more ways for you to be of service, right? And so those times that are hard where we have to really look at ourselves, which is a hard thing to do. I know a lot of people, me included, there's times where I don't want to look at myself in the mirror because I know I'm just, I feel corrupt, you know, I feel evil. I feel like I'm self-seeking, you know, I feel like it's all about me, you know what I mean? It's a constant show of just me trying to please me, whatever is going to please me, that's what I'm going to do next, right? And when I'm in that state, I know that I am choosing to step away from God and I'm choosing me, right? But the goal is, why we're doing this and why we're here, you know, and why he gave us this word and why he's allowed us this gift of faith, you know, and the gift of prayers is to get away from that. And the only way to do that is through those things, to find the faith, to get in your word, you know, to get in prayer and to get around people who are not going to let you sit in a little pity party because you were so sinful and you were so wrong and you have all these wrongdoings, right? Because then you're not helping anybody. When you are so hard on yourself, beating yourself up, like, who are you going to be able to help? You know what I mean? Yeah. But when you can see the power in the wrongdoing and the evil that you used to be a part of, you know, that's the revelation that we need as followers to see, you know, to see that we are we're just people, you know, we are just human. We are completely out of control, you know, we are completely lost and broken without God and without our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, we can't do this. There's no way. So I just don't want anybody to say, oh, no, but I'm having sex outside of marriage. And, oh, no, I'm doing drugs and oh, I'm doing all this bad stuff. What I do now? You do exactly what I said. You get in this word and you live to the best of your ability. You try with a heart of love to walk how he has taught us to walk, you know, and you correct where you're wrong, you know, or you have people that are going to tell you where you're wrong. So then you can make some, you know, progress and there's practical steps you take to get out of that misery. Right.
Yeah.
But you have to make the choice. You know, a lot of it is simply just a choice. Right. It's to choose God, not myself every day. Right. It's to, what'd you say? Pick up the cross and choose him, die to self, you know, and that's a choice. That's something we have to do. And it's not going to be easy, but it is, like Chris said, it's a war. It's not a battle. And there are going to be times where we lose the battle, right? Where we fall to those sins, to those desires. There are going to be times where we are immoral in a lot of areas of our life, you know, but that's not an excuse to then be like, well, I did that wrong, so maybe I should try to do this wrong too. And then I should just keep going down this rabbit hole. No, it's going to come a time where you're going to start to feel convicted, you know, and that conviction is a good thing.
Choose the
conviction.
It's a blessing when God shows you what areas of your life you need help or work in, because then you obviously become convicted, and that conviction is really good. It's really good to have that. When you don't have conviction, you're just not care. Like, it's just like carefree, you know, and that's not always good. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to start praying for some more conviction. What is God trying to work on me? Work.
Two things I'll say. Like, the one thing I kept telling Wally whenever he was going through what he was going through was that, so first thing, the man is the leader in the relationship. And at that time, Colette was she's pregnant, right? So she's in a tough place. So he's got to be, right? He's got to be all the more faithful in that relationship, right? And it's slept on almost, right? It's just like, you know, you feel like, oh, they're not pulling their weight or something, but it's like, you're a team, you know what I mean? Like, you're a couple. Not saying that Wally felt like that, but
he probably did feel like that at some points. But I see it now, obviously, but then I could not see it, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Look at the face.
I love you.
Yeah. But, like, my advice always to Wally was, like, you need to run after God as fast as you can. Like, that's just what you need to keep doing, right? Like, that's what's going to benefit Colette the most, is for you to be able to remain faithful and, you know, spiritually minded and at peace, right? Even if your partner, who you, right, is going through what they're going through isn't, right? Like, that you can be that peace and you can be that sound mind, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, pregnancy brings a bunch of hormones, a bunch of emotions. I mean, I've never been pregnant, but from what I've heard, it's a busy little thing. And then the other thing I'll say, because they brought it up, this isn't biblical, but it's just something I've heard, and I believe it's true, is that, you know, they're talking about arguing. There's actually Jordan Peterson. No, I need to stay away from that guy.
Jordan Pearson?
Peterson.
Who's that?
Oh, don't stop. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, like, one thing he says is, like, so personality-wise, you're usually passive-aggressive, or you're an aggressive personality, and, like, passive couples, right, they urge against not arguing, right? They want to avoid the conflict. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that you're two different people, and you're going to disagree on things, and that you're also going to have both people in the relationship both have lower selves, right? Like, they both have problems that they need to grow in, right? And so what ends up happening is, if you don't have those arguments, you still have that problem. Like, your heart still feels this issue, and if it's not expressed, it's going to continue on, and it's what's going to happen is it's going to create a resentment. Mm-hmm. Right? And so if you can, right, you do have those arguments, and they don't have to be full-on fights, but you got to have disagreements. If you're never they say a healthy relationship, it's like 15 or 20% of the conversation should be disagreements. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you should disagree on things, because it is factual. You're going to disagree about things. You know, you're two different people. And then through those disagreements, you're actually going to grow as people. You're going to grow in the relationship, right? Like, iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Proverbs 17:7. And so those are, like, the two things I'll say, which I'm not in a relationship, but God's will.
The one thing I really
but it's good to know those things before you get into relationship, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, you know, it's kind of like how hurt people hurt people. Like, people have been hurt before, so they don't know how to. Because growing up, there were a lot of times where I was not able to express myself, and I didn't realize how that hurt me in a way and affected me in our relationship and just in even friendships.
Yeah.
To communicate.
Proverbs 27:17. Correction.
So, no, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, so, and then, like, Claire brought it up. We talked about it a little bit last week with, and I actually got the verse today at church, which is, God is good. He's providence. But I was talking about last week, right, that it's actually God's kindness and his love that brings you to repentance. Mm-hmm. It isn't God's wrath or or fear of God. Those are also qualities, and that is a understanding that we should have with God as far as his character. But as far as where I get to a place where it's like I want to repent, is because I know that this God sent his son to brutally die on a cross, and while he was on the cross in love, he sat there. At any moment he could have called a legion of angels, is what it says in scripture. Mm-hmm. And completely stopped, but disciplined to the max, just stayed there suffering on a cross because he loved me so dearly, and a perfect man who didn't have to do that. And then when I really meditate on that, I don't want to, you know, you never re-crucify Christ. It only happened once, but it's like, you know, you just don't want to do that because he's so loving. It's love that pushes you. And so this is the actual scripture. And it's actually, it's really what it's talking about is judgment. So, like, judging somebody. Damn it, I went way too far. So it's Romans chapter 2, and I'm just going to start on verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Mm-hmm. But because of your hard and penitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And, like, one thing I've fought with for a long time, and it's been a whole season, it's been getting a lot better, is I fight God's grace and his love. Like, I really do fight it, because I feel that, you know, one thing, not deserving it. Another thing, it's an easy cop-out. A bunch of sin. It's like the devil just whispering in my ear nonstop, like, this is why that's not true. And then so God tells me this is the truth right here in this holy Bible, and God is going to refine my heart through this book, through his word. And that's why I need to continue to read it, because it's continuing to change my heart, and it's continuing to let me see the true grace and mercy that's been showed on me. And it's through that grace and mercy that I actually become refined and become a better person and become a better man. And, you know, it's, I get obsessed with the wrath, because that makes a lot more sense to me, you know, as far as discipline goes, that I mess up and, like, God's got to crush me now. And I would almost sometimes rather have that, because then it's like we're on a fair playing ground, and then I'm in control, because then it works, and then I can try to do better, and it's none of that. All it is that he did it all. All the glory, right? God just wants all that glory, right? That he's, and not because he's some narcissistic crazy man, it's because he's God. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of everything, right? God wants that glory. And it's, you actually, there's a whole sermon on it. You find your true happiness in the glory of God. And so through that grace, through that mercy, I can glorify it to other people how good my God is, that through everything that I've done, all the horrible things that I've done, I do a real bad job of walking the Christian walk, right? I don't know that anyone who does a great job at it. Actually, we're all a bunch of sinners. And thank God that it's not up to me. Thank God that Jesus did come down on that cross. And thank God he went through that. Even though he was sweating blood, begging God, right? Like, take this cup from me. I don't want to go through with this. And then goes ahead and goes through with it because he loved us. He says, not my will, but your will be done. Mm-hmm. And it's that grace and it's that mercy, you know, that Clet's talking about, that's what's going to bring me to repentance. Because whenever I do sin and then I say, God's done with me, I'm not going to repent. That's what scripture tells me. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's a big pod.
Yeah. No, that's real. I've had a lot of nights, you know, post sin, where it's like, God, just pour your wrath out on me. Just post game review. Literally, I'm just like, God, just strike me with lightning right now, please. I can't handle this.
Game 7 of the
NBA Finals. Yeah, dude, I'm just like, oh man, I can't keep doing this. But you know what? He's good. He's a good, good father. And he's going to continue to deliver us. He's going to continue to refine us, you know, through our struggles and through our disobedience. His goodness is always going to shine. Do you have anything else you want to add? Anything else on your heart?
I was just going to say that he is a good God. I think, amen. I used to say that, like, I would be in the shower just on repeat trying to say that to myself, because I had to remember, like, to rejoice in the suffering. Like, he is a good father, like, even though I am suffering right now. And he is, because, I mean, the ending of our birth story was just, it was insane. Mm. It was nothing that I imagined how we were gonna have our baby. But I don't even think you knew. Like, I would pray that, you know, God just let me make it past 23 weeks, because that's when in the womb, when the baby's lungs start to develop, like after that week, I think it is, or during that week is when the baby's lungs start to develop. So I would pray, like, just let me make it past 23 weeks and we'll be good. I'll be okay.
Well, he answered that prayer.
He absolutely did. 24 weeks and six days we had her. And I could just, throughout the whole process, he was good. Like, I don't think I've ever been so calm in a process like that, like, ever. I think I was more calm in that process than I was through the whole pregnancy. Like, I think even though that was such a high stress situation, he was still good through all of it. Like, I had so many answered prayers. Like, I prayed that, you know, like, she would come out crying so that I know she would have lungs. And the doctor told me she probably won't.
Mm.
It's a very good chance that she will not come out crying, just because she was so small and she's underdeveloped. And she came out. She gave us a little cry here and there. Mm. And it was so beautiful. And I prayed that my placenta would come out, because oftentimes when you have it earlier, a child earlier than they're supposed to, sometimes there can be complications with the placenta. And I prayed that my placenta would come out, because I did not want to have a surgery. And it did. Yep, it did. Mm. So, I mean, like, just in that whole, like, experience, like, it was back-to-back answered prayers. Like, thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, God is so good. God is so good. And he has just blessed us with so much, like, joy from this little girl, you know? Like, it's just a consistency of, like, joy and happiness. And you can never, like, be mad or stay mad anymore. Like, just once you see her, it's just so much dopamine in your brain. It's just crazy. I love it so much.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Best buzz you'll ever catch right there, little baby.
Oh, yeah. No, the smell.
Just take a rip of the room.
The smell of a baby is so intoxicating. I love it.
Yo.
Oh.
She do, bro. She got her little face in the incubator hole. She's in there just.
She smells so good. It's a newborn baby smell. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's crazy. It smells like when you boil water for pasta.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No,
really?
It, no.
It smells like when you first put the pasta in the boiled water. That's what, and that steam come up. That's what it smells like to me. I don't know. I can't smell all that good.
Smell like that.
No, bro. No, but yeah, that's so cool. I didn't even know
scary.
You were praying those things.
Yeah.
That's so cool. But
it was scary, but
yeah,
beautiful.
It was scary, but like I said, it's a choice to be in fear and faith. And was I scared of the worst possible outcome during that birth? Yes, 1,000%. But
that was the longest,
you know,
2 days of my
that's
life.
That's where I had to pick up that armor, you know, put on that armor, had to pull out that sword, you know what I'm saying? In the day. The morning that she was born, I was in my Bible, and in Mark chapter 5, where we got her middle name from, I wrote, let me pull it out because it was kind of cool. Where is that? Where Mark at? Where you at, Mark?
Mark's after Matthew.
After John?
No, Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Okay. Here it is. I wrote, "We are not afraid, Little River. We trust in you, Jesus. Thank you for my baby girl." I wrote that on 5/9/24, the morning that she was born. I wrote that, you know, and it was a choice, you know, it was a choice for me to actually live that and to mean it and believe it, or to just, you know, be scared and be of no use to my wife, you know, in such a tough time. And that's really all I could do was just, when Sweet Little River came out, all I could do was just look at my wife and just keep a face of faith, you know, keep showing her that I'm believing that God is going to deliver this baby and she's going to be okay and everything's going to be okay, because God's got his hand in this. He's already in control. He's in charge, you know.
Yeah.
This premature birth was no surprise to him. It is part of how River is going to glorify the kingdom of God. You know, it's going to be her testimony. It's going to be literally her name being brought to life, you know. A sweet little girl that God loves so much that he brought her to life. And that's what he did with our baby. And it's amazing. God is so good and can't really say anything other than that. So you got anything else, Chris? We're pretty deep. We're pretty deep. So,
are we really?
Oh, yeah. We went long. But it was a good one.
Sorry.
I appreciate y'all for still listening.
We just keep getting longer and
longer. Yeah. But I just want to read how we closed out a few episodes ago. I thought it was perfect. I think this is kind of our mission statement of 79 Cent Salvation. And it's Psalm 103, and it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the fields. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. And that's a wrap.